Amen. Well, it's a blessing to be in the house of God. I already have been blessed. Amen. We'll be in the book of Isaiah just in a few moments. We thank God for this meeting. It's been so great. I told him yesterday, you keep taking care of me like this, I'm like a stray dog. You might not be able to run me off. Amen. You might just keep me. You might not like me near as much after I'm here a little while. Amen. Amen. Isaiah, tremendous book, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was like a statesman. He seemed to be one who had such a statesman character about himself. He was the one that was close to the king, and when the king died, it must have touched his heart. And, of course, God moved in his presence. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. God touched Isaiah in a mighty way. Isaiah wrote a tremendous book. The Holy Ghost penned down through him this book of Isaiah. It has so many deep, deep doctrinal truths in it. In the opening up in the book, in chapter number 1, he introduces salvation. Very carefully, he makes known in chapter number 1. He says, "Come now, let us reason together," in verse 18. "Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The Lord's never changed. He's always the same. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, washes us, cleanses us, purges us. He makes us white as snow, praise God. Takes away the filth of our ungodliness and cleanses us. They look forward to the cross. We look back at the cross. But the power of the cross has never been any different. In chapter number 2, he brings up a word that we find often used or several times used. In verse number 2, he says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days." The Word of God is very clear on that statement. Several times the last days are mentioned in the Word of God. He says sometimes not just the last days, he calls it the latter days. And then, of course, in one place in Timothy, he calls it the latter times. But he's referring to the time we're living in. Understand that if we look in all the verses, we would think that the latter time certainly could have easily began in the apostles' days, the early church. But when we really focus on what he is saying, it brings us to the day we're living in. It's amazing how easily these verses in the New Testament, Old Testament overlap. In chapter number 5 of Isaiah, he gives us the parable of the vineyard in the first part of the chapter. Then in verse number 8, he gives us 6 woes that describe mankind in these last days. He's still dealing with the last days. The first woe is that, verse number 8, man is going together, land and property to himself and join it together. And in doing so, he's going to gather up the land to own all he can. The Bible says in these verses, he wants to join field to field, house to house, and he wants to own more and more. John D. Rockefeller was asked, "How much land do you want to own?" He said, "Just everything that touches my property." We've got a lot of folks like that. And God's going to bring a judgment upon that attitude, because they are full of covetousness. Verse number 11, he says, there's another woe, and this woe is for partying, drinking, music. "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, continue until night, till it inflame them." And then he says, they have the harp, the viol, the tabret, the pipe, the wine. They're feasting, the Bible says. They're having parties. It's the party life. Because of that, hell enlarges itself in verse 14. Verse 18, there's another woe. "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope." They're always just pulling sin. They're not leaving it. They're bringing it with them. Amen. Where today folks want to bring their filth into the church? And they want to acknowledge Jesus and drag their filth right with them. Amen. God will not have no part of that. God's against it. And there's a bitter woe of God upon that. Verse number 20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good." Does this sound like our day? "And good evil." God said, this is the last days. This is how it's going to be. We understand that Paul declared to Timothy the last days, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of the self more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Heady, high-minded, they're full of their self. He says there's another woe in verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, prudent in their own sight. We've got a president that thinks he's smart and he's absolutely stupid. And we've got a vice president that's worse. And we've got a speaker of the house that absolutely, I wonder if she could drive across the street if there's more than one lane. The Bible says they'll claim that they're wise. They get up and make speeches and talk about how smart they are. God's sick of it. He says in verse 22, there's another woe. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, would justify the wicked for reward. Everybody's not a pervert. But there's people that will take the pervert's money and stand on the pervert's side against the righteous. We're not just in the day of everybody being perverted, but we've got people that's perverted by money. They're perverted by gain, and so therefore, they'll put you in jail and turn the perverts loose because they'll take the reward. We're living in a day when our government is twisted in so many ways, it's hard to even consider in our mind how bad it is. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine. They are twisted in their, given to alcohol. They justify the wicked in verse 23, and they take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. People are arrested for praying on a ball field. People are put in handcuffs for preaching on a street corner. And perverts march down the street naked. And prostitutes stand on the street corner in California undressed. And a young student to be honored in the graduation has to take the name of Jesus out of his speech that he's going to give because he has done so well in high school. In God's name, how do we get to this place? The Bible says this is the last days. The Bible says we're headed into these days. 11 times, I believe it is, that he mentions the last days in the Word of God. And then he mentions a number of times, not only the last days, but these latter days and these latter times, and all of them overlap. I don't care if you're reading Old Testament or New Testament. They're all the same. They're all telling the same story. Over a period of all this time, the Bible has been written. If I didn't understand anything, I'd understand somebody writing in Isaiah's day, describing my day. It had to be Holy Ghost inspired. Amen. And it is exactly, I'm reading, if you read that out of New York Times today, describing America, that's exactly where we're at. But I want to back up to chapter number 4. In the midst of these last day expressions and characterizing the last days, he makes a very unusual statement in chapter number 4. The Bible says, and in that day, we're still in the prophecies of the last days. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Here are seven women, and they say, look, all we want is a man. And we'll keep a job. We'll buy our own clothes. We'll buy our own food. Just let us have a man. I want to preach in a moment or two, amen. There is a shortage of men. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for its purity, but I thank you for its perfection. I thank you, Lord, that it is as accurate today as if you had been writing it and sending it to us in this moment. And I magnify the name of Jesus. I exalt you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the Word. You came in flesh, but you left us, thank God, the perfect book. And I praise your holy name. Lord, may the Holy Ghost give me liberty to preach. May the Holy Ghost anoint ears to hear and help us tonight, and we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible tells us of a day that there'll be a shortage of men. There'll not be a shortage of pansies, playboys, and perverts, but there'll be a shortage of men. There'll not be a shortage of the lazy, the lewd, the loose, and the liberal, but there will be a shortage of men. They may not be, and for surely there won't be, a shortage of sodomites, sissies, and sorry individuals, but there will be a shortage of men. I say to you, if you are a man, for God's sake, be one. Amen. I feel sorry for those who are looking for a man in the day we're living in. I was counting today. Since I was here last year, I've been in 18 meetings. Before November the 1st comes, I'll be in 10 more meetings. All of those meetings are not a week. Some of them are just one day. Some of them are 2 or 3 days. Some of them are a camp meeting. And I may only preach once, sometimes 2 or 3 times, whatever it might be. But I've spent a lot of time going to a lot of places. If I could find 50 young men, I could introduce them in a few weeks to 50 beautiful girls that love God and want to live for God and serve the Lord. I'm talking about if I could find 50 young men who dresses like a man, walks like a man, looks like a man, is willing to work like a man, amen. I could find them, ladies, a husband. But I'm telling you, there's a shortage of men in the day we're living in. If you've got daughters, pray for them a lot. Thank God for some of you raising some men. I appreciate Penny and John raising 2 men, amen. I appreciate others. Hey, I wish they was already 19, 20, 21 years old. I'd introduce them to some beautiful young Christian girls who love God and want to do something for Jesus. Are you listening to me? There's a shortage of real men. There's a shortage, and there's going to be a worse shortage the further down the road we go. I understand prophecy. I recognize Israel's in the forefront of prophecy. I understand there's going to be a tribulation period. I recognize God has given us those truths, but Jesus made clear everything running into the tribulation is the beginning of sorrows before it ever happens. The horrors and the wickedness and the work of Satan, it's not going to wait till just the day after we leave. All these things are the beginning of sorrows and the working of the devil and being like the days of Lot and like the days of Noah. May I say to you young ladies, if he has to spend more time in the mirror with his hair than you, leave him alone. If he has to take his socks off to get his leg in his pants, for God's sake, don't fool with him, amen. Amen. I hate a pair of pants I can't get my hunting boots down through, amen. I'm telling you, we're today, we're sick in this society. We've sickened ourselves. We've brought on ourselves horror in the day we live, and God hates it, amen. Young men are marrying girls out of good churches. They sit on their rear end. They won't work. Their wives have to work. They drive a four-wheel drive jacked up 5 feet off the ground. They have to work to buy Pampers for the baby. Amen. The husband sits at home playing a video game. I'm telling you, in God's name, he stays home from work if he has a headache, a toothache, or an ingrown toenail. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with that, amen. We've got a shortage of real men. A man will sit on his rear end and send his wife out on the job. He ain't worth feeding, amen. God said a man is to earn the living by the sweat of his brow, amen. Not to poor wife out laboring like a dog, amen. Amen, amen. He said there'd be a shortage of men. Seven women, if you'll just let us be yours and give us your name, take away our reproach. We need a man. We'll go to work. There's young men running around all over the country dating beautiful young ladies. But if she quit her job, they'd be looking for another one. If she quit his job and wouldn't support him and haul him around in her car, they'd be somewhere else looking for somebody else. Are you listening? I'm about as sick of it as God is. Amen. We raise a bunch of boys. The only time they had a black eye is when their sister butted them in the nose, amen, to get the video game from them. Amen. It's sick, ain't it? God help us, amen. Say, preacher, you sound like you're mad. I'm mad, amen. That's what they said to Paul. They said, you're mad. This book is describing the days we're living in. And there'll be a shortage of men, a shortage of men. They'll sneak in unawares till they steal your daughter. You better saturate your young ladies with prayer. You better saturate them with fasting and a care in your heart and your soul. Amen. I'm not saying there's not a young man, that there's no young men. There's some sitting in this building. Thank God for every one of you that's real. Amen. I prayed for you, John, when you had to work with your hips messed up and all the stuff you had to go through. Boy, I tell you, I've told folks to pray for you. I told our church to pray for you in pity. Thank God for you. Amen. We've got young men, my friend, that can't hold a job a week. That can't take orders. They go to get a job and they look at them and they say, hey, you got them big old loops in your ears. You look like a freak, amen. We don't need you. Hey, young lady, if he's got more jewelry on than you do, you don't need him. If his cologne smells louder than hers, she better go somewhere else. Hey, listen, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm telling you, we're sick. I'm telling you, our society is sick. I'm telling you, we've raised up a bunch of wimps. And a bunch of them been raised in Baptist churches. Hey, Mom, let that boy grow up and be a man. Hey, hey, let him get nasty. Let him get dirty. Let him get his eyes blacked occasionally. Thank God for it, amen. We don't need to raise a bunch of sissies. We need men. Are we on the same page? God said this is going to be one of the characteristics of the last days. Brother, everywhere I go, I'm not talking about a few churches. I'm talking about good churches. I'm talking about great churches. We had vacation Bible school. I mean, we busted at the seams with the kids we brought in. I run the van. I visited door to door telling them about vacation Bible school. We outnumbered the boys with the girls probably 3-1. I'll tell you why. The boys have their mind wrapped up in a wicked, filthy world, and we're going to be hard-pressed to get them ready to meet God. Are you listening? Thank God if you got any kind of a balance. I'm not trying to look around this tonight and just figure a balance. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I've driven up and down the highways of this country. I've seen young ladies say, "Preacher, I'd love to have a husband. But every time I find somebody, I find out they're a pervert. There's something wrong with them." We're in trouble in America. Seven women taking hold of one man. I've never seen such a time. God expects you to be a man if you're a man. And if you're a mom, God expects you to raise a man if God gives you one. One of the greatest honors in the Bible was to have a man child and to raise a man and to raise him up to be a man, amen. And God help us not to raise a bunch of pansies. I'm trying to get to the message. There's a shortage of men, a shortage of men. You say, "Preacher, what kind of shortage?" A shortage of men that love God, that love the Bible, that love this book, that love the church, amen, that love the preacher, and is willing to take orders and live for God and do what's right, amen. I cannot tell you how many young ladies I've seen in the last 10, 15 years, some young man marry them. That's not long. They've got them out of church. They've got them. They've lost their standards. They've drug them down. They've done them harm. I'm telling you, friend, we need some men. Amen. Some of you are already so mad. You need somebody to give you CPR. We need some men that love their wife and love their family more than they love themselves. Have enough sense to understand God's got a standard for men. He's to be elevated and be a principal example of the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty, His Father. I used to raise a bunch of corn up there where I live now. People say, "You, what are you doing, raising corn?" I said, "I know, I'm raising boys. I didn't need all that corn. I just needed boys. Become men, amen." You say, "Preacher, we just ain't got nothing for them to do. Tell them to dig a hole here and put the dirt there. And the next day, say, take the dirt there and put it in that hole there. And the next day say, we need a hole here and put the dirt over there, amen." Say, "What will that do? Teach them at least to use a shovel." I talked to a foreman the other day. He said, "Preacher, you wouldn't believe it. You'd have to see it. You'd have to see them put a shovel in their hand. They don't even know what they have. They don't have a clue what to do with it." He said, "We worked about 45 minutes. One of them said, 'Oh, Lord, my back.' He said, 'Son, you're 18 years old. What do you mean your back?' He said, 'My back's killing me.' He said, 'About a week or two of this, you'll get better.'" But you know what, sister? He quit. You know why? Mommy's told him, "Oh, honey, you ought not to have to suffer. You ought not to have to work. Mommy, I got a little bit of a headache tonight. Well, baby, won't you stay home? Baloney! Take a couple aspirins and go to work, amen." There's something wrong with us. Men used to be men. Boys grew up to be men, wanted to be men, had an interest of being a man. I held a full-time job all the way through high school. It didn't kill me. Running me a little bit, but didn't kill me. What's happened to us? I was diligent, working as a boy, saving my money. I'm talking about a boy. I bought my first car when I was 14 years old. Paid cash for it. My daddy never gave me a dime. I was driving it down the highway, had a flat. Checked my spare and it was flat. What'd you do? Use a cell phone? Ignorant. They wasn't no cell phones. Who would you call anyway? I jacked it up. I put my spare on. It was flat. Why'd you put it on there? I'm going to fix the tire. I drove up on the tire and broke it down. I took two 12-inch crescents and a breaker bar, and I took the thing apart, pulled the inner tube out of it, put a patch on it where the hole was, put it back together, and used a hand pump, pumped it up, put it back on, drove down the road. 14 years old. They can't even carry the groceries in at 14 years old. Mommy, you're not going to help me carry the groceries in. There's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with us. The Holy Ghost hasn't died. The Holy Ghost is still alive. He's still working, amen. There's something matter when your brain don't think right. I had a drag race car when I was 16. I ran out of church as fast as I could, got in my drag car, run to the drag strip, throwed my slicks on. I loved it. 16 years old. Owned my own place of business when I was 16 years old. One day I was getting ready to rush out. Holy Ghost said, what are you doing? You didn't pay no attention to nothing this morning. I said, the drag strip's over. You don't have to be 50 to make decisions that's right. You don't have to be an old man and crippled on crutches before you can make right decisions. You can make them now while you're young as you boys are. You men, amen. I apologize for calling you a boy. Are you listening? I said, no more drag strip. How many times you go? Never. Never have been back. Amen. Never.
Amen.
At 18 years old, I could drive into any car lot in the area and buy a brand new car. 18. So I decided to buy me a Bumblebee with a 440 Magnum with the 4-speed Hurston floor. 18 years old. I drove in on the car lot, looked her over. He said, take her a spin. I drove her down the road and come back. He said, what do you think? I said, I'll buy it. He said, take it for another spin while I fix the papers up. Oh, it sounded good. They come with glass packs. They didn't like today, amen. They come with dual exhaust and glass packs. When you stepped on the pedal on the right side, that's the throttle, son. They shook all over, boy. I started down the highway, and the Holy Ghost said, what are you doing? He said, you're going to get married. What are you doing with that? I said, I'll take it back. I was 18 years old. You don't have to wait till you're over the hill to do something right. Somehow or another, we figured it out. The boys don't ever grow up till they're 40. Thank God you got a man, sissy. He's rare. I drove back in the car lot real easy with it. Didn't want to skin it. I got in and walked in. I said, Donnie, tear the papers up. His dad owned the dealership. He said, do what? I said, I ain't buying it. I said, well, buy that four-door Impala sitting out there with an automatic and a 283. He said, what? Have you lost your mind? I said, no, that's what I'm buying. He said, I can't believe that.
I said, well, you might as well believe it because that's what I'm buying. And I bought that Impala with a 283 and an automatic on a column, and I drove out there just shouting and praising God, happy as I could be, amen. And I went and bought me and my new bride-to-be, amen, a house. Are you listening? I'm telling you, we're in a sissified age. And if you think you got to have everything to make you happy as a man before you can ever be a man, you're nuttier than a fruitcake. Amen. We got a shortage of men. They love themselves more than they love their wife. They love themselves more than they love their children. They ain't got everything and just tickled to death with everything they got. They're like Ahab pouting with his face toward the wall. Their wife's got to go get them some. Boy, some of you look pitiful. We've got a shortage of men that live a separated life. Me and my wife was driving down the highway, wife-to-be. We didn't have as good a counsel in those days as some of us have got today. We was driving down the road. That's when I had my race car. Had the stick in the floor. I just took the slicks off during the week. Slicks is on. Race time, amen. It sounded good. I could open them gates on the side and rear down on her, and I could light the world up. Looked like lightning come out from each side of it. It sounded like a thunderstorm, too. She stuck a 8-track. Some of you don't even know what an 8-track is. And the Holy Ghost said, don't listen to that no more. I pulled it out, and I said, that's my girlfriend. I said, I'm not going to listen to it anymore. She put it back in. She said, I want to listen to it. I said, we're not listening to it. I pulled it out. She said, but I want to listen to it. And she put it back in. I pulled it out and I threw it out the window. I said, we're not listening to it. Do you understand what I said? He said, that's pretty blunt, but that's easy to understand. We need some men that's got a backbone of a solo and able to lead their family and lead their wife down a road of righteousness and separation and holiness. It wasn't the filthy, trashy music we got today, but it wasn't what God wanted, amen. You know what she figured out? If she married me, she had to obey what I said. Some of you girls probably don't want that kind of a man. They'll let you go to work, earn a living, pay the bills. They'll sit at home, play games, go out, sit on the tailgate of their pickup truck, and watch the ball game, and let you work your rear end off for them. Amen. A shortage of men today. Man won't hit a lick at a snake. Tony come. He got to flirting with my daughter. I didn't even know him. He called me. He said, I'd like to. And he told me this story. Same old story all of you have heard, amen. He lived down next to Atlanta. I said, come up. I said, move up here, boy. And I said, we'll see what you are. He come up, and I seen right off the bat. He needed a lot of help. He called me dad, had a lot of respect, and listened to everything I said. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, go get a job. Well, how do I do that? He didn't know more how to get a job than he knew how to fly a 747. I said, well, they're building food line. And I said, you go over there and you ask for the man that hires. You tell him you want a job. And I said, what he's going to tell you is he don't need nobody. He said, what do I do then? You tell him, put me to work, and I'll work 1 week for free. And if I ain't no good at the end of the week, you don't owe me a dime. But if I am, you owe me a job. He said, how you know it'll work? I said, it worked for me every time. Amen. He went over there, done exactly what I told him. What did God tell you? Yeah. He said, you got a hard hat and hard toes? In the car. When can you start? Right now. When that job run out, they wanted to take him with him. He didn't want to go, of course. He had a sweetheart. I said, I know another place to get a job. That's a mine repair shop. Nasty, filthy. You come out there, your face looks like that.
Yeah.
When you take a shower and get out of the shower, people think you've been using eye makeup because your eyes are so black. What do? I say, you're going to tell them the same thing. You know what they did? They gave them a job. Most boys ain't willing to work a week for nothing. But you know what they did? They paid him for the week. That's pretty good. I said, son, work your hind end off. Whatever he tells you to do, you work and do it best you possibly can. Amen. He didn't have no mommy to come home and say, mommy, I got blisters on my hand. Look here what they done on my hand. I'm going to call child services, son. You just stay here. We'll get you a check or something. We're in a mess. But them boys go to work with you as much as you can, John. Make them tough as nails. Don't let Penny go to work with you. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to tell you, this Bible says in the last days, this is going to be one of the battlefields. If you're willing to go to work and show up every day and even try, you'll never be without a job. There's wanted signs in every building and window and place in the whole country. There's young men sitting on the rear end that wouldn't hit a lick at a snake. We have a shortage of men. We have a shortage of men. Instead of living a sanctified life, they're sensual, worldly, and devilish. They slip in unawares. They need a fist tucked to them. I come out of an older school than some of them did. Had a grandmother call me one morning at Christian school. Said, my grandson beat me up this morning, preacher. I said, what? Said he beat me with his fist. He was in class. 16 years old. I said, I need to talk to you, son. We went back to Sunday school classroom, and I shut the door, and the first before he ever noted, I hit him so hard right there. Son, he hit the floor, and I jerked him back up and knocked him down 3 or 4 more times. I said, I'm going to tell you something, boy. If you ever touch your grandmother again, I'll beat you to death. And I said, go back to class. If you tell anybody, I'll whoop you twice. You say, that ought not to be on the news. I'm telling you, we're in a mess because we haven't straightened some of these young punks out. Are you listening to me? God help us. And the grandmothers have to raise the children. We're a shortage of men who can lead and be an example. That's pitiful. Someone was talking to me the other day, said, well, at least we got a strong military. I said, we've got sodomite generals and lesbian generals.
They're teaching them little woke classes.
And you gotta make sure you don't say him and her, his.
That's the stupidest mess ever was. Person was telling me at the hospital the other day, the nurse was a man. Ain't nothing wrong with being a man nurse. When you're there as a man, it's good to have a man nurse, amen. They said, what's your name?
Shirley. Surely not.
It's sad. A couple from our church went to, was it Vermont? Work in the hospital. It went in a room. You can't say him, her, his, all, any of that stuff. We lost our mind. This is nuttier than fruitcakes. Are y'all on their side? I couldn't even get two amens out of that. We're a shortage of men that can listen to the voice of God. They can hear his voice. Isaiah heard his voice. He said, I'm looking for a man. Isaiah said, send me. I'll go. Thank God for men to step up to the plate. Say, preacher, what do you need done? What can we do around the building? You need me to visit? You need me to do this? You need me to do that? What do you need me to do? You don't have to wait till you're 100 years old to be a servant of God.
Amen. Amen.
Few men, young men, are listening to the voice of God. They can tell you everything about every baseball team, football team, softball team, girls' volleyball team. They know it all. Amen. But they can't hear God. You better find you a place, young man, and go pray, and pray a lot. And ask God to give you his voice and let you understand it and be able to recognize it when he says something to you. I'm trying to hurry, Brother Tony. We're a shortage. If you just give us your name, we'll work. We'll earn a living. We'll buy our own clothes. We'll buy our own food. It won't cost you anything. Just let us be a wife. All at once a man. That's pretty pitiful, brother. That's where we're getting to. If you don't think polygamy is going to be legal in this nation, hey, listen, what you need to do is take a trip to Utah. Need to go to Utah and go to about 4 or 5 malls, pull into them, and watch them get out. Watch them pull in a van, one man and 5 women get out, and all of them's his wives. You been out there, brother? Am I telling the truth? Just pull in, and there's a 15-passenger van, one man, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 women. It's all his wives. And if you think it ain't coming to a town where you live, you're nuts. Amen. And this book says, the book that I'm reading out of says, that's going to be a characteristic of the last days. Not quite as mad as I was, but I'm still pretty mad. Few men are willing to learn the Savior's ways. He wants us to seek his face and figure out what he wants for our life. I smoked cigarettes as a church member. My pastor smoked cigarettes. Does he believe he's saved? Saved as Apostle Paul. I wasn't married. I bought my own cigarettes. Nobody ever bought me a pack and handed them to me. I'm not proud of any of that.
Got to get my handkerchief out, not my gun. My gun's up here. Nobody preached to me I shouldn't smoke cigarettes. How can you preach not smoke cigarettes when you smoke them yourself? A pastor never preached against cigarettes. All that bunch of eyes ever around, they smoke cigarettes. I come in one morning, worked the night shift in the coal mines, sat on the side of the bed, started to fire up my last cigarette. Holy Ghost said, don't smoke no more cigarettes. I stuck it back in the pack. I never lit it. I throwed them through the bedroom door. My stepmom said, what are you doing? I said, I just quit smoking cigarettes. You did what? I didn't quit because somebody hammered me every Sunday. I quit because I learned that there was a voice bigger than anything, and it's the voice of God. And He speaks above and beyond any human voice. I'm amazed you can preach 100 Sundays on something, and young men said can't get it one time. How many cigarettes you smoke after that? None. My father-in-law, to be, he smoked. All the rest of them smoked. When I went to their house, I smoked. My girlfriend, fiance, set out the cigarette ashtray, and while we were courting there on the sofa, I smoked cigarettes. Ain't that stupid? The next time I was there, she said, I noticed you didn't smoke no cigarettes. I said, I quit smoking cigarettes. Her father said, well, you quit smoking cigarettes. I said, God told me to quit smoking cigarettes. That always upsets them. So I testified at church, God told me to quit smoking cigarettes. I don't know about the rest of you fellas, but God told me not to smoke more cigarettes. My pastor come to me, he said, Johnny, God told me to do that about 15 years ago. He said, I'm quitting too. Amen. Amen. We're a shortage of men who can hear God speak. They don't even know His voice. You say, when does He start? He started with Samuel when he's about 3 or 4 years old. Samuel! 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 You run into Eli. You call? No, I didn't call. After the third round, he said, son, that's the Lord. He said, when you hear that voice again, say, speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth thee. You don't have to wait till you're an old man to hear God's voice. There's something wrong with us today. We're in trouble in America. But the saddest thing, we're in trouble in our Baptist churches. God help us. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. There's something a matter. Let me give you several other things, and I'm closing. There are a few men at Lovey's appearing. Young men, I tell you, it'd be good for you to go somewhere and spend the whole night praying and asking Jesus to come. And look to the sky for him and get to the place before daylight comes. You'd be shocked if he ain't there. Men are to pray. God's word says, and they ought to pray everywhere. That's what the Bible says. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I learned to pray when I was young. I learned to pray before I got saved. Ain't nothing wrong praying when you're young, child growing up. God answered prayers before I got saved. I ain't wanting to hear what you got to say about it. I'm just telling you what God did. I prayed as a little boy. God answered my prayers. God still answers prayers. He's a miracle-working God. I learned to pray about everything. We'd be broke down in the coal mines. I'd get down and start praying. We was broke down big time one night. Probably had 600-800 cars loaded. Nowhere to dump them. Couldn't start the belts. I was in one of the big motor control rooms. I was on my knees praying, asking God to show me what was wrong. The superintendent and the foreman run in. He said, "Be quiet, he's praying. When he gets through praying, he'll know what's wrong. Leave him alone. Don't bother him." You know what happened? God showed me what the problem was. And about 15 minutes later, we had her up and running. Not because I was so smart, because I serve a great God. I couldn't hear you, brother. Oh, mines was bad shape. Talking about the PAX mine, Josh, you know, it's just about bottomed out. I walked into the big meeting. I didn't know this, having the big executive meeting. Vice President was there. Brother, Mr. Weaver was there. One of them said they're having a meeting. Said, looks like things are going to go down south. It's going to fall apart. I said, "Mr. Weaver, would it be all right if I prayed?" He said, "If you want to pray." I said, "Let's pray." I began to call on God, ask him to turn the situation around to coal mines. Let the business change. Let orders come in so coal could be mined. You know what God did? He turned it around. Amen. He'd stop me when he was there. Want to talk to me. He knew that God did something. Seen it done time and time again. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. We better get to where we can get a hold of a God in heaven.
Amen.
And know that he can do anything.
Amen.
I've seen it happen time and time and time again. We need men. You better not wait till you got a wife and a little girl, a little boy in the hospital before you learn to pray.
That's right. Amen.
Because if you wait that late, son, you waited too late. Don't wait till you got somebody's little daughter and she's expecting and she's having serious problems before you learn to pray. You better learn to pray while you're young. See, you've been easy on the ladies tonight. Well, learn to sew and cook, praise God, and clean house and do everything to make your husband happy. And if you find you a good man, you'll have a good home. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, my heart's troubled about our country, about our churches, about our young people, where we're at. God, help us. Give us enough sense, enough wisdom, Lord, to train these boys, to train them to be men, to raise them up for you. God, let them get a hold of the need in their heart today to be men, spiritual men, able to seek the face of God. There may be some here tonight, they're not even saved, they're lost, playing a game. I pray, God, you'd help them. Touch their soul, and we'll thank you for what you do. I need you so much, Lord. I wouldn't even want to drive home without your help. I praise your holy name. Help us now in Jesus' name. Folks are praying. The altar's full, filling up. You might be a young lady. You might need to come and say, God, let me find a real man. Not no spongy sissy either. God is able. You might be here and you're not even saved. You say, preacher, I can't get started the way I am. I tell you how to get started. Get born again. Get saved by the grace of God. Give your life to Jesus. If you're a man, say, God, help me be a man. A real man. And love you and lead my family and do what's right. God, help us. I'm not in a hurry if nobody else is. I'm telling you, God can help us. Get a burden for your church. Get a burden for your young people. Get a burden for these young ladies and young boys. God will raise them up a mate. Mind the Lord. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Obey the Lord. Listen to Him. You got a husband, young lady, that's a man. You ought to hold your hands over your head and shout for about 5 minutes. You say, thank God I've got a rare, rare, rare individual. Young ladies are precious. Thank God for them. And I'm not undermining you a bit. I feel sorry for some that has to live with what they got. Brother Pastor, you come. Folks are still praying. We're not in a hurry. You just come, mind the Lord, do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do.